There's this thought that comes to my mind in John 15, verse 16. Christ is speaking to the 11 here, and when he's speaking to them, he gives this answer to them. And this answer, I just want to look at, I want to take this one verse, and it's an answer that is given in a way, or it's a statement that is laid out for so well that we can answer when we get asked things in the world. When we get asked things about what we believe, and what we believe is what the Bible teaches. So I want to always preference this, not just because we believe it, it's because the Bible teaches it. That, so what we believe is what the Bible teaches. And when they, you start to talk to someone about what we believe, and the biggest subject that there is salvation, eternal salvation. And they'll say, okay, what'd you do? Did you accept? Did you do this? Did you do that? They lay everything out there for you. And when you start to explain to them what the Bible teaches, and that God chose us before the foundation of the world, and he has an elect people, and all of a sudden it will open up a can of worms like you've never seen a lot of times. And you get down in middle Georgia, and you know what? A lot of people's forefathers were Printer Baptists. Oh, my granddaddy's granddaddy went here, and they knew this and they knew that, but it's not that way everywhere. And the longer we go on, when we first moved down here 15 years ago, I think it was, everybody had somebody that they knew went to Cool Springs. When you could say Cool Springs, they said, oh, yeah, my uncle went here, my granddaddy went there, and it's, as generations go, it's fewer and fewer come down. So when they start to ask us what we believe, we want to be able to answer it, and we want to be able to say what the Lord said. And he gives us, in verse 16, it's broke down, I think, in three different parts. And Lord willing, I just want to look at these three different parts. He says, John 15 and 16, he says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. So I want to start with that first section. He makes sure that it's clear. He sums it all up really quickly. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. That's what it all comes down to. Everything that in the world in which we live today out there is going to talk about what we need to do to get the Lord, and what we have to do. We have to choose him. We have to be baptized. We have to accept him. We have to do anything. And when he's speaking to them right there, he's giving us the answer that we go out there. And when someone starts to talk about it, we say, wait a second. We know how eternal salvation works. He chose a people before the foundation of the world. And he tells them, he says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And we go throughout scripture, and I imagine if you go out all the different places throughout scripture and you see where the Lord chose his people or chose his man, and he chose them, and they had nothing to do with it. And when we look over and over again, he didn't choose the one that was the best. He didn't choose the one that was the brightest. He didn't choose the one that was the biggest. He didn't do any of that. Why? Because he chose the one where it was going to be to his glory. That's what he did. So when we think about it, when you start to talk to ones about eternal salvation and that God chose a people before the foundation of the world, a lot of times you hear, well, that doesn't seem fair. That doesn't seem right. But you get this a lot of times. Well, he might have looked through time and seen what they did and what they might have, he looked through, and that's what he chose. Well, that's not a choice. That's an obligation. That's not him choosing something. And when he goes there, we get to go over to Romans 11, and he gives us a great answer for it. He says, for the children, or Romans 9 and verse 11, for the children, being not yet born, neither having done good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It had nothing to do with what they had done. Nothing to do with what they're going to do, what they had done. It has nothing to do with that. When we keep coming down, when they say, well, how does he pick? How does he decide who he wanted to choose? Well, we know what we all deserve. And when we have an understanding of what we on our own deserve, then things become a lot clearer and a lot easier to understand what the Lord did. We on our own deserve hell. We on our own deserve nothing good. There's nothing good about us on our own. Amen. When we get that, when we understand that, everything else starts to become more clear and you can start to see it a whole lot better. The picture becomes a whole lot better. Well, what makes him choose a certain people? I think you go back over to Deuteronomy 7. He chose these children of Israel. He says, Deuteronomy 7 verse 6, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number or more than any people, or that you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep his oath, because the Lord loved you. When you want to think about how powerful it is, the choice of what the Lord is, it's the Lord loved those that he chose. Whenever we get in the world today, in the religious world today, they're going to tell you you need to love the Lord and that you need to embrace him. You need to do your part. And we know that 1 John's going to tell us that we love the Lord because he first loved us. That's where it comes from. That when we want to have our ammunition to go out there and face the world, we want to be able to go and we don't want to just say, well, this is what we feel like it is. What we have is we don't have to go roundabout to give answers when people ask us what we believe. We don't have to try to put asterisks on things. We don't have to come up with cute little fables. We get to go to the Word of God and we get to open it up and we get to say, here's why God chose his people. He chose them because he loved them. He loved his. You want to go over there and you want to see why God chose his people? Ephesians 1 and 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. You can get through everything. You can try to put it all down any way you want. But what we get to do is we get to open up the Bible. And I remember this morning, this is where it was. I couldn't say Ephesians. I couldn't get there. But we get to flip over to Ephesians. And when someone says, well, it doesn't seem fair that he chose some and not others. Well, then you get to explain to them what we all deserve. Then you get to say, he's being merciful. Say, well, yeah, but how does he decide who he's going to choose? Because he loved them. What made him love them? The good pleasure of his will. That's why. That's who it is that we're here to worship tonight. We didn't come. We want Brother Sam to come up and stand before us and preach and be blessed. But we came to worship the Lord. We came to glorify his name. We didn't come because Brother Donnie and Brother Caleb are the best singers that there are in Bleckley County. I'm telling you, because everything sounds the same to me. So I'm just telling you, it sounds good the same every night. Right? It's not because of that. We came because we want to sing unto the Lord. Praises unto his name. The one that we came to worship tonight is the one that spoke it into existence. No one has a problem saying that God just decided to say, let there be light, and there was light. They said, yep, that's right. They'll agree with you. Out there in the world out there today, the religious world, I tell you, these young ones around here, it's not the things that are so different than us that we have to make sure that they're guarded against. It's the things that are so much similar to us that just aren't quite there. We got to make sure that they understand that, the difference. You know, last week I tried to preach on something, and I'm going to flip it to it real quick here. These young kids right here, Judges 12 and 6, this is what we should teach all of our young children. There's a story right there where the people, they all look so similar. They're in war and they're in battle together, and they take over a section of land, and they're letting them go through, and they say, you, and I can't pronounce it, and this is all about how you pronounce something. So the irony is not wasted on me here, but Judges 12 and 6, he said, then say unto them now, say now Shibboleth. He told them, we can't tell you apart. Y'all look so similar. We can't tell you apart. Here's what we want you to do. We want you to speak. Tell us what you believe. Tell us how you say this. You know what they couldn't do? They couldn't say the SH. They say Shibboleth. And it automatically made them stand out. That's what we want to do. We want to have these young children here. We want them. You ever been in that situation? You've been in that sermon where a man is preaching and he's saying something and you're just not quite sure what it is. There's just something doesn't feel right about it. You can't tell what it is. You don't know if it was right or wrong. You're just sitting back, but something just wasn't quite there. You ask someone else and you go and you have to ask someone that probably smarter than you and knows more. You go and ask them. They say, yeah, because they said this and not this. Maybe it was just a little bit off. It was just a tad bit different. Well, that's what we got to make sure that we're doing for these young ones in here. We got to make sure that they can hear something. And you know, you might think that the kids are all playing on and they're coloring or they're not paying attention. More times than not, you can ask them, what did that preacher preach on? And say, well, they'll say, I don't know, or they're not sure, but then they can start rattling off what he just said. They hear and they pick up more than what we think they do. What we need to do is make sure that we're making sure that we are clear about it, that how you say Shibboleth, this is how important it is. One letter difference is all the difference that it makes. You know why? Because in that spot in Judges 12 and 6, 42,000 were killed that day because they couldn't say a letter difference. That's how we got to be when we stand here. When someone comes and asks us and they say, what do you believe on eternal salvation? We say, we don't shy away from it. We say, let me go get the Bible. Let me open up and tell you what the Lord teaches on. Let me tell you what he said on. You didn't choose me. I chose you. That's what he taught about it. That's how powerful. I think it's like 10 words right there on how big that you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. The next thing that they're going to say, you get past all that and they're going to say, well, then if you believe that, you can do whatever you want. You can do anything you want to do. If you believe that, the lesson right here in John 15 and 6, he says, after he's make sure he talked to these 11, he says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. That what? That you can go out and act any way you want. You can go and be anything you want to do. You can act any way you want to act. No, he says, you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. He says, now, you didn't do anything. I did all this. When we're looking at it on eternal salvation and people find out that there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God, that there is nothing that can pluck you out of the hands of the Lord, that there's nothing that can do that. the world out there is going to try to convince our young ones. They're going to try to convince them. You know what? They give up on us. We get older, they'll be like, okay, let's go to this next one. Let's get to this next generation. Well, they're past. Let's go to these next ones. They're going to try to tell them that you can lose it. That you can be separated from the love of God. No. He says that's not how it works. And so when they hear that, they say, well, you can do whatever you want. No. He's going to say, look, this lesson that he gives to these 11 is the same lesson that he gives to us, that we ought to be out there trying to be as fruitful as we can. Why? Because we didn't choose him. He chose us. And he did it all for us. He paid it all for us. When someone pays your debt, when someone comes up and you can't do it on your own, there's nothing that you can do, and that brother here, someone in this world will come up and do all that they can for you and make sure that they fill in your void, they fill in your gaps, you're going to be indebted to them. You're going to feel like you owe them everything. Every time you see them, you're going to want to do whatever you can for them. That's how it is with the Lord. When we have our eyes open and we realize that there's nothing that we could have done and that he did it all and there's nothing for us to do. He's taken care of it. There's nothing we can do to lose it. There's nothing we can do to gain. There's no more to gain of it. It's all been taken care of. It is finished, is what he declared. He says, so what do we need to do? We need to go out and be fruitful. We need to have a mindset like the brethren over there. You go down. I was thinking about this week over there in Isaiah 6. He gets that live coal there from the altar and laid on his mouth. And that touched his lips, and the iniquity had taken away, and the sin purged. And in verse 8 it says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. That's the mindset we need to have. Well, that's the mindset we need, is when we realize what the Lord has done for us, when we realize how much he provides for us daily over and over again in spite of what we do over and over again. When we have the opportunity to see what we can do for someone else, we need to say, send me. Send me as often as we can. When the Lord blesses us to see it, we need to say, send me. When we have the opportunity, we need to say, send me. We need to be going and producing as much fruit as we can. Why? Because the fruit doesn't come from our own. It doesn't come because we're something special and we have something special about us just to produce it on our own. Because on our own, he tells us we can't produce it. He tells us that on our own, we don't have it in us to be able to produce anything. It comes from the Lord. What's he say? John 15 and 5, he said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But without me, you can do nothing. The Lord puts it in perspective for us. He wants to know, for us to know who we are on our own. We are nothing. We can't get it on our own. But the closer we are to the Lord, the more we can produce. The Lord has blessed us beyond measure. He's blessed us to be a people, to be able to go out there and you think about Sister Rhonda and them, what they're going through right now. You can't, my mind can't get around. I know what they're going, I don't know what they're going through. How hard it is for all those families that are out there in the world right now suffering the same kind of sufferings that they're going through. But what the Lord gave us is he gave us a type that no matter how dark the darkest hour is, no matter how tough the toughest hour is, no matter how hard the hardest battle that we have is, that he gave us light. And he said, you can handle it. Now it might not feel like it. There's been times, you know, when Alec was born, everyone knew he just wasn't going to make it. He wouldn't make it. That's just the way it was. He was that early. He was that small. I mean, he was 1 pound, 10 ounces. He didn't have anything about him. He just was not going to make it. Funny thing is I was so young and naive, I just didn't think they knew what they were talking about. I thought, man, he'll be all right. He'll make it. He'll get through it. He'll be able to do it. The second one comes, and I was worried then. I was scared then. I was like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go through that again. But no matter what it is, when the third one came, no matter what it happens, when all of them come, no matter how tough it is, no matter how scary our lives can be, no matter what situation that we're in, the Lord has blessed us to be a people to see light at the end of the tunnel. To be able to see light in our darkest hours. To look and say that when we are in the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. That we can truly say that when the darkest times come, we can look around and say, it's okay. I can handle this. Not because we're something special. Not because we're the strongest. Not because we did something special. But because the Lord has got a hedge about us. And we can look around and say, he's greater than the darkest of the dark. He's greater than that. So when they look at you and they say, well, yeah, but it just doesn't make sense what you believe. It's not what we believe, it's what the Lord teaches. He says, here, I chose you. You go out there and you produce stuff. You say, well, then it's got to be on works. It's a work-based thing. No, what's he come to when he gets down there in the next part of this verse? When he gets down there, next part of the verse, he doesn't to start talking about our performances and how we do and how we act and what we get to do to pat ourselves on the back. You know what he makes sure he does? He says, here, I got a tool for you. I got a tool that when you go out there and whatever you're facing, whatever you're going up against, he says, whatsoever you shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it to you. He said, I'm going to give you the power of prayer. I'm going to give you this one tool, and that one tool, no matter what we go up against, you know, you ever remember, I don't even know if that show's still on TV anymore, they used to have that Survivor. You could pick a few different tools. You could go out there and be on a stranded island, you'd have something, you'd have a group of people, and you'd be able to pick some stuff. This is what it is. This is our desert island. This is our darkest spot. He said, here, I'm going to make sure you have something that you'll be able to get through it all. You'll be able to handle it all. It's the power of prayer that we get to pray to the Lord. When we don't even know what to pray for, when we don't even know how to word it, we don't even know what to say, he says, it doesn't matter. You pray it in my name and the Lord will bless you. When it doesn't even make sense, when you're saying, it just doesn't make sense, I don't know, you pray, and if it be the Lord's will, it be done. That's what he gave us. When we mentioned all those names, Brother Sam could have stood up here for another hour of mentioning names that we need to pray for, and we wouldn't even scratch the surface. Each one of us could come up here and lay out all the things that we need to pray for. Lord, help me with this. Help me with this. And that doesn't even start to what we need to be thanking the Lord for. Because if we want to start there, we don't have enough time to go over the things that we need to thank the Lord for. Each and every one of us. He gave us the power of prayer. He said, you pray. So when this John 15 verse 16 comes and he's talking to these 11, This week I started looking at it and started thinking, man, that is an unbelievable answer. To be able to go out there. When someone says, are you one of those people that believe in that? And I can say, yes, I am. I am, because the Lord said, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. And then he gave us instructions on what we ought to do. Go out there and be fruitful. Be fruitful. Make sure we're doing all the things that we can, that when we're in the situation, we get to say, send me. Lord, send me. Let me be the one to go out there and do what I can. The Lord has blessed us beyond measure to have understanding, that we can go out there and we can face the darkest hours. When we're there, if we can comfort someone, Lord, send me, that I can give them comfort. Why? Not because we're the smartest, not because we have the greatest numbers, not because we're the richest, we put together the best services. He chose a people because he loved them, and it was according to his good pleasure. What a great blessing. We don't have to try to lay it out, figure it out. The Lord loved a people, and it was according to his good pleasure. He chose a people. May the Lord bless you, is my prayer.